It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. And I'm joined now by Chris Versace. He writes the corner of Wall and Main for the Washington Times. And today's column is entitled, Drought Has Commodity Prices Sizzling. That doesn't sound real good. The drought's going to cause some big-time problems for consumers, right?
Well, it will. It'll take a little bit of time to happen, but the real impact that we're seeing on this hot weather, and, you know, you and I always joke about it when we get on the air, Andy, because D.C. is a relatively hot, humid town. But if we look to the Midwest, it's been several weeks of very hot, very dry weather, and that's taking its toll on a number of crops, particularly corn and soybeans. We've seen those prices spike, and now we're starting to hear about the follow-through on that and what it could mean for consumers in the form of higher food prices as well as other things that we might buy, snacks and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Corn is a key input.
Yeah. Corn. I was when I'm reading your column, I'm thinking, man, corn is used in everything.
Yeah, there's actually a link in the column, at least in the electronic version, and you can see that there's about 4,200 different uses for corn. Everything in, you know, chemicals to batteries to, I mean, you name it, corn is there.
That's unbelievable. Now, this also affects poultry and beef prices?
Yeah, it does. If you think of what is a key ingredient for feed, it's corn.
Yeah.
You know, so as prices for feed go higher, we're starting to see beef prices go higher. Poultry prices will go higher, to some extent pork prices as well. So it's, you know, anytime you have a rise in an input cost, such as feed, there's going to be a ripple effect through that. And as we know, companies are designed, in theory, unless you listen to President Obama, to make money.
Yeah.
So what they're going to do is they're going to try and pass along that price increase. And, you know, over the last year, we've seen different input costs go higher, and we've heard from PepsiCo and others that they've increased their prices. And once again, PepsiCo, when it reported its results this past week, said, oh, we're getting hit with higher prices. And if you think about it, Pepsi owns Frito-Lay. They own corn chips. It's kind of a, you know, pretty easy thing to see.
Yeah. All right. Watch out. Here comes inflation, right?
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, everybody tends to focus in on gas and, you know, oil prices and the subsequent impact on gas prices. But food is one of the top things that we spend in terms of disposable income each and every week, even though the federal government likes to rule it out by saying food and energy don't count when it comes to inflation.
Sure counts when I go to the store and I see the difference in the prices.
Well, you, me, and everybody else. And, you know, if we think of rising food prices at a time where, you know, we got the GDP report today.
Yeah.
Confirmed the slowdown in the economy. And, you know, we've been talking about this for weeks because it's been very evident each and every week, from slower job creation to a weakening manufacturing economy, weakening industrial economy, weakening services economy. The GDP report to me is simply just a cap on how bad the second quarter really was.
Yeah. All right. Slow growth pattern continuing. Are we headed to a stalled economy? Is that what I get from this?
Well, it's hard to say, right? You know, we know we have a number of things that are going to happen between now and the end of the year, this big cloud of uncertainty that I keep talking about.
Yeah.
You know, the longer it goes on, the less likely it seems that there's going to be a neat or easy solution to what's going on. To me, that says that consumer sentiment is going to continue to pull back like we saw today amid that uncertainty. The consumer is two-thirds of the domestic economy. Do I think that we will be like Europe and dive deep into a recession? I don't think so yet. But I do think that we will continue to slow, and certainly that's no good.
Yeah. What kind of number do we need to actually affect the employment rate? I mean, the growth number has to be a lot larger than what we've seen, right?
Oh, in terms of the upside, yes, yes. I mean, if you think of it this way, we did 1.5% in the second quarter for GDP,
right,
and total jobs, non-farm, added about 75,000 a month. That's a horrible number. So, you know, part of that, I think, is some pent-up demand, companies waiting to see what happens, taxes, fiscal cliff, so on and so forth. So it could potentially be a little better, but the reality is that the economic engine has to get growing. And until we see some clear paths ahead, now that's just in the U.S. and in Europe, which, you know, is in the headlines every day, and a reversal in China's growth rate because it's slowing, it's going to be some time till we see that.
Yeah. Just looking at market numbers throughout the day, stock market numbers throughout the day, and I've seen them kind of bounce up a little bit, drop off a little. I didn't see any, you know, real bad reaction to these numbers today. Is that expected?
Well, I think the numbers were largely expected. You know, a lot of economists at the major investment banks have been cutting their forecasts.
Yeah.
Or, you know, over the last several weeks as all that data I alluded to kind of rolled in.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to remember, too, that the ECB came out today, that's the European Central Bank, came out and said that they're going to start buying some debt. So you could argue, oh, guess what? More sugar stimulus.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. I gotcha. All right. Anything? I know I've asked you this before, but
sure.
Is there anything the government can do right now to jumpstart the economy? What would they have to do in order to get things headed in the right direction?
Well, I think you know, the people down 30 miles from where I live, very, very close to where you are, i.e., Congress,
mm-hmm.
need to figure out how do I address the fiscal cliff? How do they come together, politics aside, and work something out so people in businesses can go, man, we're going to dodge that, and we can get on with our lives.
Mm-hmm.
That would be, you know, that, and after they do that, kind of step out of the way, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are the two things that they could really do that would help things, and you know, hopefully that will start to happen. If not, you know, the summer heat's going to continue, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Speaking of the summer heat, you weren't here last week. You were on vacation. I'm guessing that you did something good for the economy. You spent some money?
My dad did last week. My dad and I went down to South Carolina to go see my brother and his newborn baby, along with his, you know, his wife and his dogs and this, that, the other. But the old man was picking up the tab last week.
So dad contributed to the economy. You went along for the ride.
Well, no, I tried to pick up the tab here and there, but he's fast.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's what dads are for, right?
You know what? I know that because I have my own kids.
That's right. That's right. Yes, it just keeps on going. All right. Well, listen, thanks a lot for the update. Folks, if you haven't read it yet, check it out. It's in today's Washington Times. Drought has commodity prices sizzling, and it's by Chris Versace. You can always get in touch with Chris at chrisversace.com. That's V-E-R-S-A-C-E. Thanks, Chris. See you next week.
Thanks a lot, Andy. Enjoy the weekend.
You too. 4:57, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.